It's September the 28th, 2018. This is Meet the Movie Press. On the show this week, Gibson's Wild Bunch, Wan to Busan, and Whoopi, Sister Act 3, plus the week's big box office and some of the trailers that dropped this week. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. Thank you for the compliment. Yeah, it's Meet the Movie Press. It's September 28th, 2018. There is a lot to go through. And you know what Meet the Movie Press means on Friday is that at 10 past 10, Warner Brothers drops something about the Joker. always happens every week after the show. So maybe this week the entire movie.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, just to kind of, you know, piss us off.
Hollywood's listening.
Wait, okay. What are they done?
Every
ready?
Single
ready?
Week for like the last...
Now.
There you go. Brilliant.
They're off the air now.
Okay, so we've got a lot to get through again this week. It hasn't been the busiest week in movie news, but a lot of stuff that we want to cover this week. Let's go through a special guest, first of all. Been on the show before. It's been a while, Neil.
Yes, I am back. You're welcome.
Genuinely, you are welcome. I mean, it's been months we've been talking about getting you back on.
That's
you're
right,
a busy
yeah.
man. And you also live in New York.
I also live 2,500 miles away.
True.
So that's the tough part.
So your commute was tough this morning.
But nice to be back. Thank you for having me back.
Your pleasure.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, it was great
nice
to meet you.
So for those people who haven't seen the show or don't know who are you and where can we find you?
I'm primarily a screenwriter and a journalist. I was a columnist at the Tracking Board for a couple of years mm-hmm. with your former co-host, working with him. But I also host my own podcast, Unduly Noted, which you can get on iTunes.
Okay.
I do it with my partner, Ryan Beeman. Nice. So now let's get to the good stuff, shall we?
Well, as I was going to say, as always, Dimitri and Scott, who I believe now are officially known as the good stuff.
The good?
Yes. I'll take it. Yes. Why not?
Why not?
It sounds like a male review stuff. Show. Yeah. The good stuff.
It's the sequel to the stuff.
So
we're the good stuff.
I'm looking over at a couple of handsome guys over here. I'm thinking, you know what? Let's get this rolling with some.
You
know,
need
some
those glasses fixed, sir.
Let's meet the movie press for crying out loud.
So who are the movie press? Dimitri, where can we find you and who are you?
We're right here in the Popcorn Talk Networks. Meet the Movie Press, the best show. I keep saying it's the best show about the biz. And also on Popcorn Talk Networks, Anatomy of a Movie.
Scott Menzel, I'm going to save the long-winded speech until the end.
Yep.
Scott Menzel, We Live Entertainment. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, he tore his ACLUFGM. There's
too many. We'll do that at the end of the show. We might actually accidentally end the show as you're continuing to talk. Talking of continuing to talk, let's kick off talking about this week.
He's still talking as Warner Brothers is dropping the
absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. We're already at the credits at the end. Yeah. We've got the in credit sequence. Sequences, the DVDs.
By the way, here's the first clip of the Joker.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So let's talk about first of all the Wild Bunch remake to be directed by Mel Gibson. We get directors who are well known who are remaking classic movies all the time. There's one about to hit in a couple of weeks. A Star Is Born. We see plenty of them. This got a lot of visceral reaction though this week. A lot of people felt very passionately about this when this was announced. Let's start with you, Neil. What were your thoughts on this week?
You know, the question I have is, are people passionate about remaking The Wild Bunch, or are they passionate about Mel Gibson doing it?
Well, they were split. A lot of people had kind of almost took offense that you wanted to remake The Wild Bunch. And a lot of people had a problem with the fact that it was Mel Gibson going to be given that job. So there were a number of reasons that people sort of, you know, were set off this week.
And he's going to write it.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
Yeah,
right?
I believe so.
Yeah. I don't have the energy anymore to get outraged about whatever movie they're remaking. I just can't do it.
It's
wasted energy.
Yeah, it's a waste
when they
of energy.
When they remade The Magnificent Seven,
right.
Of course they were going to eventually remake The Wild Bunch. Mm-hmm. The question becomes, is Mel Gibson still poison? And I think the fact that he got in my estimation, unwarranted Best Director nomination for Hacksaw Ridge, Hollywood doesn't care anymore. He's served his time in the penalty box and they want to come back. I have a friend who works at Warner and she and I saw each other yesterday and she was talking about what the external view of that would be. And I said, I think that people don't care anymore.
The studio heads don't care. And even though they were the ones that were griping and they were some of the ones that were yelling the loudest saying, he's never going to make a movie for me. He's never going to do this. Mm. He's not going to never because he's
never and now, only lasts a few years in Hollywood.
Well, it really does.
It depends. Yeah, I mean, it's
I think also crazy. At the end of it, when, I mean, yes, he is out of movie jail, but also he's put a couple of movies out there in the last couple of years that actually have been really good movies. I mean, Hacksaw Ridge, it did okay. It didn't do amazingly, but as a film, it did well, but it didn't do amazingly. You know, it was an accomplished film and people really responded well to it. The movies that Mel Gibson, we've discussed this on the show previously, the movies that Mel Gibson makes are good movies.
Yes.
He is a good director. And
he's
he's found his feet. So yeah. I think even when we talk about various other people who've been in sort of, you know, Hollywood jail or been found guilty of crimes, you do have to separate sometimes that, you know, they can pay a price for something that they've done, and yet their work still continues to be. You can also be a bad person who makes good work.
You know, though,
it's the art versus the artist.
Absolutely. It's not going to happen with Weinstein.
No, that's too far.
Forgive me.
I think you're absolutely right. There are certain cases where it may be the case, but I think you can't compare what Mel Gibson did to Weinstein.
No.
But also, I think he's produced films so far that have been good, and I'm interested to see this. Personally, I'm not a big fan of Westerns. I've never been a big fan of the genre. It's something that's never really appealed to me, even with some of the most amazing movies. You know, I will get on board with things like Unforgiven and stuff like that. And there have been some great Western movies back from the day and in the last sort of, you know, more contemporary. But, I mean, I would like to see his work on this.
Hollywood continues to employ Roman Polanski, who is an admitted child rapist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I may not like, as a Jewish guy, I don't have any affinity for Mel Gibson. I know Jewish people who have worked with him who said that he couldn't have been nicer to them. I mean, he's more of his father was a Holocaust denier. You know, there's certain things that are passed down. I can't say, even as a Jewish guy who has faced his share of anti-Semitism in life, that I can compare what Mel Gibson did to, say, what Roman Polanski did.
Mm, right.
Sure. So if you are going to manufacture outrage, it's got to be consistent.
Yeah. There's extremes, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's
so yeah. What we're saying is, like you were mentioning Harvey Weinstein, Roman Polanski, they're over here. What he did, I think, is somewhere in the middle ground, which is kind of can be taken any either way.
I totally agree with that.
I think
totally
also audiences, even Mel Gibson as an actor, we saw this with like Daddy's Home 2. People who didn't go to see Daddy's Home 2, it wasn't because Mel Gibson was in it.
Right.
It's because they didn't want to see Daddy's Home 2. So I think ultimately, if you know, irrespective of any other argument, if you have to look at it and go, if Mel Gibson is making a movie, will the fact that Mel Gibson is making a movie or in a movie turn people off at the box office? Bottom line is that it won't.
No. And I actually did see Daddy's Home 2.
I thought it was better than the first one.
He was funny. And, you know, I'm not unopposed to a Wild Bunch remake, to your point about Magnificent Seven. I mean, it was good.
It was fine.
Yeah. And so I don't... And he is a good director. He's fine. I mean, there are other movies that I know we're going to talk about today about like rebooting that I'm like, really, why? But The Wild Bunch, I like Westerns.
Yeah, me too.
I get that Wild Bunch is a classic, like Western, violent Western. But to your point earlier too, I mean, to continue to get aggravated at this stuff, you'll just tire yourself down to a nub.
The thing with Wild Bunch is it's Peckinpah's masterpiece.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, and I think that's where people will get upset.
Sure.
And that's fine. The thing with, I mean, to be fair, I didn't see Daddy's Home 2 because I missed the first one and felt like I couldn't go to the sequel without seeing the first one because I missed a lot of the subtleties.
Yeah, you're right.
And I missed storylines that were introduced in the first one.
Well, you'll be glad to know that it is canon, obviously, Daddy's Home 2.
Okay,
it is considered canon.
That's good to know.
In the Daddy's Home universe.
Look, I happen to think, like I've said, just because a guy is an asshole doesn't make him untalented. Mel Gibson is a brilliant director. I think Apocalypto is actually his best movie. Mm. I think Apocalypto is incredible. I can watch that over and over again. It's such an impressive movie without a word of English spoken. Mm-hmm. You don't even need to have subtitles.
Sure.
You always know what's going on. And to do that, to be able to do that with pictures is a lost art.
It's interesting with the likes of Woody Allen as well. I mean, we're getting away slightly from the remake thing to a slightly different issue, but Woody Allen,
it's
kind of part of the same issue.
Yeah.
You know, his films remain great movies, but I disapprove of many things that he's accused of.
Of course.
100% vehemently, sure. But also, you know, you can have made mistakes and they can still be completely relevant. However, you can also look at them and go, I mean, you know, a really good example is this week. you know, what's happening here in the US. I'm not going to get political about it.
Right.
But you can have good people who are fundamentally good things who do bad things, and then they're not right for something. But Mel Gibson, the biggest thing about this for the audience, certainly on film Twitter and around it, appears to be not the fact that it's Mel Gibson, criminal Mel Gibson.
Right.
It is Mel Gibson touching a film that they don't want him to remake. That seemed to be the overriding factor for me this week.
I think it's partially both. I think it's using the film as a way to get outraged about Mel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the thing that we have to remember, and I think we can all agree on this, is that we have to live in a society where redemption is possible.
Oh,
if we don't live in a redemptive society, then we're lost.
Yes.
And that's a big topic to be discussing when in regards to Mel Gibson in a remake of a fucking Sam Peckinpah movie. But at the same time, it fits here, you know? And I think that again, do I have any interest in working with Mel Gibson? Not necessarily, but he's spent his time in the penalty box and he did apologize and he seems to have tried to make it right. So
I wanted to add to this is that I'm so curious about this. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I just wanted to get your guys' feedback on this. So when something like this happens, when a celebrity, a director, whoever it is, who has a large body of work, and all of a sudden does something that people don't approve of,
mm-hmm.
how do we react to that? And like, why is it so negative to say that you're still a fan or you like this person's movies after something comes out?
I think that you need to be able to separate the artist from the art.
Yes.
I don't necessarily know that Stanley Kubrick was a great person.
Right.
But he is far and away my favorite filmmaker. And it's like, how can you enjoy a movie or a TV show when the hero is also the villain? Can you enjoy Breaking Bad and still appreciate the character, even though he's, you know, we see him turn evil?
Again, I'm just going to say, you know, Harvey Weinstein's not going to be forgiven. And
not people, everybody.
And it's not everyone. Again, and when you go about redemption, that's not redeemable. Like, he's not coming back from that.
I'm not saying that's fine.
And it's not a coverall. It's not to say that it's a blanket thing. There are some things. For instance, Jeepers Creepers 3.
Oh, yeah.
I love Jeepers Creepers, Jeepers Creepers 3.
Yeah,
Jeepers Creepers 3 I would not watch, and I will not watch the other films again.
Sure.
But that is my choice.
Right.
As a consumer, to not do that.
I think, Simon, you are and continue to be an inspiration to all of us.
Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of pedophiles. You know, I kind of have a problem with sexual assault.
But there are people, you know, I mean, there are people who, like Mel Gibson, who you were talking about, who are, he's still like, you know, I listen to Howard Stern. And Howard Stern's like, I don't understand how people continue to give him, like, I don't want to go see his movies. And like,
and
I respect his opinion. So I think like you can't do a blanket statement. I think that it's up to the person as to whether or not they're going to either continue to watch the past films. And sometimes it leaves them tainted. I mean, Woody Allen, I think is a fantastic example of that where some people just they won't get over it and they won't support it. They won't see his movies now. They
consider him guilty.
Dislike Manhattan. Like, or they won't. They may not dislike Manhattan, but they're not definitely going to be rewatching his movies to support him. I get it. I mean, but that's people's personalities.
But that doesn't change the past of what the films were at the time they were released.
Nope. Not at all.
Like, I mean, Woody Allen, I mean, that's a perfect example. Someone else in the chat's talking about Kevin Spacey.
Yep.
These guys are iconic. Like, American Beauty, are we going to deny that that's a freaking phenomenal film now?
L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential.
Again, another amazing
Unusual
thing.
Suspect.
But.
The Shipping News.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
But when you.
Baby Driver, for Christ's sake.
Nine Lives.
Yeah. Nine Lives, right?
That was a better example.
Nine Lives.
Damn it, son.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I'm with Scott, though. You have Harvey and you have Roman over here and you have Mel over here. And it's, you know, there's different forms of redemption. I think that, you know, not everything. I'm going to go with you. It's not a blanket thing where everybody gets to be redeemed.
Yeah.
There are certain offenses that can't be redeemed. Like, if you kill somebody,
Yes.
You know, if you rape somebody, if you're, you know, it's different from saying the Jews are responsible for all the evil in the world.
But again, even though I look at us.
I agree with you.
I look at us being level-headed people, but if you're watching Usual Suspects, you look at Kevin Spacey and you sort of kind of go,
You look at them in a different way.
I don't.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
Listen, Kevin.
I'm not saying that I'm not watching the movie. But that cloud hangs over it.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Pollak tells a great story now that Spacey has, everything has happened with him. I don't know if you guys have heard this, the story that he wrote about it in his autobiography, but he said, if you get me enough drinks, I'll tell the story privately. But when all this shit with Kevin Spacey came out, he finally, on his podcast, Kevin Pollak's Chat Show, he told the story of what happened on the set. Mm. Do you guys know this story?
No.
Bryan Singer had a young boyfriend who was with him throughout the shooting of the film. With about a week left of shooting, Brian knocked on the door of Kevin Spacey's trailer to talk to him about something, and Kevin was inside nailing the boyfriend.
Wow.
And the rest of the shoot, I mean, it was a blowout. It was a whole thing. Never mind the boyfriend cheating on Singer, but for Spacey to be such a predator as to actually do that to another person and his director...
Right.
They had to, the rest of the time...
Kaiser Soze.
The rest of the shoot, they actually couldn't, they didn't speak. They spoke through intermediaries, and then, of course, Spacey won an Oscar for it. But, this comes directly from Kevin Pollak. Like, Gabriel Byrne went up to him and said, "Have you heard what happened? Have you heard what happened? We're all going away. The film's going away."
It's like Gabriel Byrne is in the room.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can I say? When your back is turned, I do a mean Simon accent.
Yeah. I'm never mean. I think your point about what Mel Gibson did and comparing it to a Weinstein, I mean, both shitty things, awful things, but there's a sliding scale, but
when you're talking about, you know, I mean, Weinstein has produced a lot of Academy Award winning movies that we've all. That we've all seen and loved, right?
But he's always been a monster,
right?
No one ever connects him with films, really. It wasn't until recently where they connected the production company.
The average guy on the street
doesn't know.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah.
It's we tend to forget sometimes that we are in an industry bubble. We live with it. We work within a sphere. We live within a sphere.
Sure.
And if you go to someone, let's say in Florida. You go to, like, say, Fort Lauderdale, and you mention the name Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. The name Harvey Weinstein would not be associated with Miramax. It would not sure. be, you know, the Weinstein Company, only potentially because it has his name in it.
Yeah.
But if you said, okay, name three Harvey Weinstein-produced movies...
Never.
No one would know.
I would go.
But if you said Harvey Weinstein, then we'd go, sexual assault. They would know that. And the same with many other people. I mean, there are many people who know about allegations about the likes of Woody Allen, Roman Polanski. Have they ever watched a movie by Woody Allen or Roman Polanski? Possibly not. More likely not than Polanski. So I think there is the disassociation. But I think also Hollywood, Warner Brothers know what they're doing. I don't think that they would think that if the audiences were going to recoil from having Mel Gibson direct a movie, which has already been proven that when Mel Gibson puts a movie out there is an audience that will still go and see it because they'll look at him as a movie directed by Mel Gibson.
Right.
I think audiences will just decide whether they want to go and see this movie or not.
No, I agree. I will go one further and say that you could ask somebody on the street of New York about Harvey Weinstein and they would have the same reaction as your person.
Oh, I agree.
I just think it's, you know, we do look at it in a slightly different context. I mean, all abhorrent behavior. But audiences can decide not to see these movies.
We generally don't have the same kind of knowledge. I often expect other people who are not in the business to have the same kind of knowledge.
But also,
with glazed over eyes.
let's add something else into the mix, and then we're going to move on from this in just a second. I want to do some stuff that's happening in the chat, and then we'll move on to another topic. But let's not forget, there are plenty of people that we know of in the industry who are assholes.
Yes.
Who are not good people.
Right.
Who are making movies, continue getting jobs in Hollywood. So there are...
You didn't have to bring it up.
Look at you, Dimitri. but on this point...
You!
These people...
You'll never work again.
These people do exist.
No, they do.
And just because you don't...
Assholes succeed too.
Sadly. I didn't see Assholes Succeed in the sequel. Do I need to see that before I see Assholes Succeed too?
Two.
Because we're like
I look at it like Leonard Part 6.
But, Leonard Carson.
This is like a very interesting conversation.
But Simon, earlier, like when you were talking about Warner Brothers, look, all you need to do in this town is have a hit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
And with Hacksaw Ridge, again, that movie actually did perform very well for Lionsgate.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar nominated, and people are like, what?
Multiple Oscars.
Andrew Garfield in that movie?
Right.
Fantastic.
Yep.
So Warner Brothers is just looking at it as, oh, he is out of jail. It's all you need to do. Just make a movie that people like. It gets Academy Award nominations. It does fairly well at the box office. Okay, Mel, and that's the other thing, too. He has had a relationship with Warner Brothers, right?
For 30 and plus
Warner
years.
Brothers was one of the people who said, we're never working with him again.
Yeah.
New regime.
You know what? And Warner Brothers continue to work with the likes of Woody Allen. You know, I'm sure the likes of James Gunn will come back and they will work again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there are several directors who've done things that have caused public outrage, whether you support the outrage or not,
absolutely.
And have then come back to do work. There have been actors that have done it. There have been several people. I like to think there's the ideal that when you do something or you get found out for something and you never work again. I mean, it isn't true. But you know why? It's because people still go and see the movies.
Right.
And it's the audiences that dictate whether things continue to be made or
employed. It also depends on how bankable a person's name is and how serious the crime is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
That is very well put.
The director of Birth of a Nation. Like, that guy will never work again, probably. I forgot his name already.
Yeah. That's like, showbiz.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on his
name,
too.
Everyone. Yeah, everyone. So, you know, like, that was someone who was poised to be, like, a really...
D.W. Griffith is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was the remake. If they'd not remake it.
It took you a second.
I was crazy. Yeah, but I mean that's just a good example.
And he's still never working in this town again.
And you know the funny thing is that you just mentioned James Gunn, who I went to. You know, it all depends on the studio at the time, how the political climate is right now, and also how everyone's in a tizzy on social media over anything that happens, whether or not like. There's so much stuff that happens in Hollywood that like once it comes out, people instantly turn on someone. And it's amazing because how many actors and actresses do we know that are abusive, have alcohol problems? Like, probably half the freaking industry. But as soon as one name comes out, everyone's like, half Twitter's like, no, I'm not going to support that person's career anymore.
Right.
Which is so strange. And I was talking to someone else, a friend, the other day, and we were talking about this. The only people who really know what really happened when stuff like this happens are the two people who are in that room that day. And all the news does and all social media does is speculate. Mm-hmm. And we try to destroy careers because we love doing that, don't we? In Hollywood, we love destroying people's careers.
We love building them up first, and then we love destroying them.
And to take that one further, often the two people in the room are going to have two completely different perspectives about it, so nobody really knows what happened.
Yes.
But bottom line, I mean, this movie will get made, and it'll be audiences who do it, but I guarantee that most people will, even when they buy a ticket, and even if they reference the anti-Semitism...
Well, it wasn't just anti-Semitism,
too. I think most people, it was misogyny.
It was misogynistic as well. But to your point, like, I think those tapes, and by the time The Wild Bunch comes out, look, Hacksaw Ridge proved it.
Yeah.
And
people don't remember.
Academy Awards and box office. And it's like, oh.
How about Casey Affleck? He's in a movie this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good example, you know, in a movie that's. Supposed to be the ending of someone's career, like a book
ending.
I know.
Wait, you're not going to give me an Oscar?
I know.
Forget that whole
thing. The competition's too strong right now? I don't know. Never mind.
But we're going to move on from that. I want to do some stuff from the chat, but let's also not forget another really good example, Bill Cosby this week.
My gosh.
Now, while Bill Cosby was being America's dad on TV, he was off...
But
sexually assaulting.
But right. That was like, oh my God, like when you look at that, that's like the level of unforgivable.
Oh,
and it's just coming, boom, 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 boom.
That's the Harvey Weinstein.
And to your point, well, now there's no Leonard Part 7.
And it's done. But also consider
no Ghost Dad.
But even
no Ghost Dad.
Goodbye. Cruel
also,
world.
Ghost Dad. Now there are some of the jokes in Ghost Dad that really are exceptionally creepy. In this, now knowing what we know, yeah. But it's like even in the UK, a lot of people from my childhood, whether they're TV personalities or whatever, mm-hmm. they all turned out to be not the the bastions of clean living that they were made out to be.
Right. What was his name? Jimmy. What's his name?
Though? Jimmy Savile.
Yeah. He was the, like the bigger the monster just of all the two team monsters.
An incredible monster.
Yeah.
Just unfathomably disgusting his behavior. So let's look at what people are saying in the chat anyway. There's a lot of stuff over this.
People don't like me at all. You people are mean.
here we go. So Sky Patterson, The Wild Bunch getting a remake with Mel Gibson directing at WB. I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't care. He's a very good director, but his personal life is very questionable. Film nerd Jamie, if Woody Allen, Roman Polanski and Bryan Singer can keep getting work, why can't Mel Gibson? Again, this is what we discussed. Glamoury saying most of their personal lives are questionable. But I don't know about their personal lives as much. Exactly. You know, all this stuff, people, it doesn't just come out. It's like, I'm very briefly touch on Tom Kavanaugh, because this was, you know, in the news a lot this week. It's like, you can be generally a very good person, but when you do something, and this is not just saying that, you know, it's, let's use the hypothetical thing. You can be a very good person 99% of the times.
Right.
But if you turn around and you want to do something that is not mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. you can also be not okay and also good. A really good example, I had someone in my life when I was growing up who turned out to be a prolific abuser. They were also very, I mean, great in the community, mm. you know, a priest. Everybody loved them. Behind their backs was a you know, prolifically abusing. Right. And it's like, it doesn't mean you're also not a good person in other areas of your life. But that kind of overshadows.
It's the mask that you wear.
Yeah. It's the overshadow.
It's the overshadow. That's important.
And you're right. And that's like that's what I was getting to before, like what Woody Allen did, Kevin Spacey, whatnot. It overshadows, and even though they have a great body of work, and I'll watch the movies and Swimming with Sharks and Baby Driver,
yeah.
I still watch them. But when it comes on, I just say, you know, and part of it is, you know, it's really too bad.
Let's move on from this. Yes. It's not only, but also, I think, is a really succinct way to put it. Other people, Zeno, I have to be honest, Mel Gibson fits Bloody Sam Stiles, so it does make sense. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think as a directorial decision, it's absolutely fine. Scott Boswell, Mel Gibson never lost Jodie Foster support. That made a big difference. Glamoury, his comedic ventures haven't been good since What Women Want, and even that wasn't hilarious. True.
Well, Jodie Foster's an anti semi too.
Jack Dennis, movies.
I will stand up for her.
Movies are bigger than one person, even if it's the director. Now they should keep working after the fact if they haven't been they haven't paid for their crimes? No, I'm all for redemption if there's serious remorse, and remorse is a key factor here, which we have to involve as well. Glamour saying, I'll still enjoy Kevin Spacey movies, though he's probably a pig. And Dylan Flickinger, don't forget that Dune is being remade by Denis Villeneuve. Not quite sure what I had to do with that. Sky,
What do you know about him?
I don't want
to
know.
Is there a Frank?
I didn't
Frank
like the last
Herbert issue that we
don't
know.
I don't know. I think they might have been referring to something else. I'm not quite sure. Sky Patterson, if Warner Brothers wants Mel Gibson to direct the Wild Bunch remake, fine. I'm indifferent with Mel. Hopefully, it's just a good script, a good story, and a great cast. And please, audiences
need.
And critics, that's all you need. And people will decide whether with their money and with their asses whether they're going to support this movie,
sure.
Whether they want to, you know, pay that money and put their bums on seats. It's entirely their choice. Let's move on. James Wan going to produce Train to Busan remake from The Nun writer Gary Dauberman.
I got nothing.
I mean, I love Train to Busan. It's genuinely, it's one of my favorite horror movies of like the last 10 years. I've watched it so many times on Netflix. When it leaves Netflix, I'm going to have to fucking finally buy the Blu-ray. So I'm going to have to bite that because I think it's absolutely genius.
Save physical media.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm a big fan of hard format stuff. Big fan. I'd still go without overstreaming anytime.
You would be surprised as to how many people still do physical media.
Yeah, I do.
It's really
Blu-rays.
Big.
Yeah.
No, it's actually the drop is not as big as the trades might have you believe. People and families still use it a lot. So
I have my Criterion Collection Princess Bride coming in a couple of
weeks. Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a great movie. I'm always amazed when I meet people who haven't seen The Princess Bride.
I have actually gone out with women and they haven't seen
it. Inconceivable.
It's inconceivable, right. I've gone out with women and they say I've never seen The Princess Bride. They drop in my esteem somehow.
Do you literally like walk out of the date at that point?
No, I'm not that rude. I'm not rude at all, but I just, you know.
Well, like, they're rude for not watching The Princess Bride.
But I immediately say, what? You've never seen The Princess Bride?
I don't know how people
I don't
not.
Understand. What? I don't, it doesn't compute what you just said.
This is the only show that can go from single. The train to Busan to The Princess Bride.
So let's get back to
in Hollywood.
Guys,
reeling it back in.
Let's talk about The Train to Busan. Sure. James Wan, obviously going to produce it, this. I mean, my one concern with this project, I'm a very big fan of James' work, and I probably really like half of the Conjuring Universe movies and not really a massive fan of the other ones.
It's got
a 50-50 split. I was not a massive fan. But my concern with this is the fact that if they take it from what it is, which is just a really good zombie movie, and they change the pace and they make it something else. Because to me, this works really well as it currently is in its current format. If you try to make it, I think if you mess with that formula, you try to make it a bit more, I don't know, something else. Because it works because of what it is. And if you take it away and you try to make it more Hollywood dramatic, or you try to slow the zombies down, or you try to humanize more than they already have in this, which I think they balance quite nicely. It seems to me it's like a really well-mixed cocktail, that movie,
right,
where all the elements are really nicely balanced. My concern would be is if you start to Hollywoodize that and try to just sweeten it a bit, you're going to change it. And then if you also go the other way and you're trying to do shock scares, then you also change it into a completely different beast.
To your point, I think this is another one of those situations where I don't feel like a lot of people really know what this movie is or talk about it.
That, which means they have more leeway.
Right. And I agree with you. I mean, Hollywood remakes foreign films all the time.
Yeah.
And again, Train to Busan is one of those movies
and
that
they're not good remakes.
Sometimes they can be.
Sometimes.
But you're right.
The Upside's really good, by the way. I don't know if it'll ever see the light of day.
Was that a remake?
Of the Incredibles? Not the Incredibles. What's it? Invincible?
Untouchables.
Untouchables. Thank you, guys.
Untouchable. It is. It's coming out.
Is it?
Yeah. Lantern Capital bought the Weinstein Company, and they're keeping it as a film company. They're not selling off the assets. And there were five movies that were going to be that had not been released, and three of them are actually coming out. And STX, I think, is taking over distribution of the Untouchables,
nice.
Which stars Bryan Cranston
and Kevin Hart,
and it's the remake of that French movie. And I think it's coming out in January.
Okay,
great.
I'd rather see Brian Bosworth. But just getting back to Busan,
that's a fun movie.
Fine.
Right there.
Sure. Yeah. I just think it's fine. I mean, yes, there's a great following for what people have watched on Netflix, so horror fans or zombie fans alike. But you're right. Ultimately, why not remake it? You'll go in and it'll either be good or it won't be good. Yeah. And we'll say, if it's still on Netflix, watch the original. But it happens all the time. Again, it's one of those things. If you're going to get aggravated, you're going to get tired really quick.
But also, I don't have the.
Well, you still have. I mean, an argument of mine is that you still have the originals. It's not like, I mean, Ghostbusters. I know people got very upset about the Ghostbusters reboot.
Oh yeah,
But you
get
still
a life.
You still have Ghostbusters.
Sure.
It's not like you you copy and you delete. It's like you don't. It's not like you do over a document and the other version isn't available anymore. It's you can have both, and people are saying actually in the chat very briefly on this. Jack Dennis is saying, talking about zombie movies, should Zack Snyder direct a sequel to Dawn of the Dead 2004? Train to Busan kind of felt like that. Yeah, that film feels very much like Train to Busan, and I think Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead is one of my other favorite horror movies of the last 10 or 15 years. I think he did a brilliant job. That's my favorite movie that he's made.
I think it's his only really good movie.
Yeah, I think that was seriously, and again, I've watched that so many times. I think if you tried to do Train to Busan as basically he did Dawn of the Dead, you're great. But that's basically Train to Busan that you already have.
Right.
So,
they're just trying to show it to American audiences who may not be aware.
Yeah,
that's
all.
I mean,
franchise, baby, franchise.
Yeah. Then there'll be the last train to Clarksville.
Yeah,
and
it's leaving at 4:30.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I welcome it because I'd like to see an interpretation, but I am very concerned that it might soften, or it might just feel too much like stuff we had before. But you know, I've still got the original.
I'm wondering, like, it almost feels too though that zombie bubble is popping.
Oh yeah, mm.
So I was gonna say you that. Know, yeah. it almost feels if they're gonna do it.
What a horrible visual image you just gave me.
Well,
mental image.
That's what I do.
Brains on a train.
Remember at breakfast before the show when we talked about seepage, Dimitri?
Yes.
Now that's see? That. Wow. Here we go.
It all ties in.
A little peek behind the scenes there. Zeno, I was saying, if you haven't seen The Princess Bride, again, going to your comments about Korea, then you suggest that you move to North Korea because you clearly don't like freedom. Yeah, I think that's true. If you haven't seen The Princess Bride, then I suggest you move to North Korea because you clearly don't like freedom.
That is a great comment.
I love that. That is a great comment.
In fact, I'm going to steal that the next time I'm a date with a woman who hasn't seen it. I'm going to say, you know what? You need to move to North Korea because you clearly don't appreciate freedom.
Patterson saying James Wan producing Train to Busan remake. It could be interesting. Give it to Universal New Line. Interesting. Jack Dennis saying Train to Busan remake, and I think it can actually improve upon the script and performances. Some of the acting in the original was awful. Do you know what? I disagree with that. I think it's very atypical of the filmmaking from that country.
I agree.
And I think stylistically the performances can be very a different oeuvre to Western performances. I wouldn't say awful.
I like this use of oeuvre.
I did too. I made a mental note. It's like, nice use of oeuvre.
And Zifra saying the zombies in the Train to Busan were actually pretty scary to me. Yeah, I mean, genuinely, I think they did a great job with that. Harris, I hate being late to this show. Harris, we hate you being late too. But
there's a thing called an alarm. Set it.
Oh, and trust me, this show is alarming.
Yeah.
Zinga! Oeuvre and a time joke. Harris, you are more than welcome, and we appreciate you tuning in. We're just going to take, before we move on to the next story, I just want to remind everybody who you are. Obviously, Neil Turretz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Great
to be here.
If
people want to find you on Twitter, where can they find you?
It's very easy. At Neil Turretz. NEILTURITZ.
Fantastic.
That's how you spell my name.
And
NEIL.
Yeah.
Not NEAL. Those are not real Neils.
No.
And anybody who says, try to spell it NIEL because it's I before E except after C, fallacy. There's not a single Neil on the planet who spells it that way.
Yep. Okay, let's have a look. Breaking Ryan Reynolds is teaming up with Sean Levy for a video game inspired sci-fi comedy called Free Guy for Fox.
I've got to take this call.
According to
that,
that's totally fine. Yep, totally fine. You just pop off and we'll bring you back in. Okay, a couple of other things I want to talk about briefly while Dimitri's popped out of the room. Marvel's The Eternals is going to be helmed by the writer director, Chloe Zhao. Zhao? Zaho?
I think it's Zhao.
Zhao?
Zhao?
Zhao. Okay, my apologies there for just not being able to say it.
The Rider is a beautiful movie.
Well,
it is.
Nobody saw it, but a lot of people spoke about it, which to me was really weird. So it's very interesting.
Bubble.
It's the bubble. But also, it's really interesting to see that Marvel are, again, getting someone who is not a particularly well-known director.
Outside of the box thinking.
And something, a complaint that's been leveled against them is the amount of men that do it, not enough women who are directing these movies. So, interesting choice. What do you think?
I'm down for it. I mean,
because I obviously haven't seen her previous work.
One of the thing that
everything okay, Dimitri?
Oh yeah, you know she's in Greece and apparently.
Oh my God, I love Greece. Who's she playing?
She's
Rizzo. Is she Rizzo? Is she Rizzo?
Yes, she's Rizzo. Yeah, my mom, the little Greek woman. Yes. Oh, yes, look at me. I'm so, yeah.
Sandra
okay.
D.
Look at me.
Sorry. It's okay. Hello. No, it's okay. Let him go off doing his accent. Whatever, Dimitri. It's your show now.
It's Dimitri's show. We're all just
go ahead.
We're glad to be here.
Just interrupt.
Scott, your point.
Okay. No, I was just going to say that.
Jesus.
I think Marvel, one thing I will give Marvel ton of credit for, even though I think they make very formulaic movies, but they have a formula that works, but they're not afraid to take chances.
Right.
And they've taken on so many different directors who you kind of like, you look at them and say, really? That's going to work?
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
We did.
You're absolutely right with Marvel. And it's formulaic, but they sort of kind of turn it on its heels and they give people above and beyond what they want. That's why they end up becoming so popular.
Yeah.
So,
God, I mean, come on, James Gunn's a perfect example. He was making like B, C movies at that point. Like everyone,
Slither,
yeah, Slither,
which I like.
Slither's not bad. Super is a terrific movie.
Oh yeah, Super. Who the hell saw it though?
I did. That's why he got
you made.
Well, it's the same thing with John Watts and Cop Car. Cop Car got $125,000 at the box office, and now he's doing his second Spider-Man.
With T.T.?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep. Right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting, and it is good to see Marvel taking...
With T.T., though, with Taika, it was... He had a real cult following. I mean, it was he was bigger. He had made a couple of movies that really...
But cult following, that's the thing.
But he was... I think that people in the industry knew him much more than these other people we're talking about.
People in the industry, yes. Yeah. No, I think more so than Chloe.
I think it also shows that how much... Regular audiences don't know about directors, period. Yeah. They don't really care. Like, you know the Scorsese's, you know the Tim Burns, you know the Tarantino's. Mm-hmm.
Spielberg,
right. You don't, but everyone else is kind of like, who directed this? Who cares?
Right. But, it goes back to the Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, people don't have that knowledge. That,
no.
But again, a lot of people, when it comes to directors, they think people directed a movie when they didn't, if they are directors who exec produce. The amount of people who I know who... Oh, I've come across, they're obviously not friends, but they'll say, like, Back to the Future, they will consider that to be a Steven Spielberg movie. Well, it kind of is, but he didn't direct it, and they think he directed it.
Yeah.
So let's move on from this. I'm really glad that you guys are supporting that decision, because I think it's really interesting. I am actually going to watch The Rider. I heard a lot of good things about it at the
time,
but I do want to get a bit more familiar. Yeah.
It's a really quiet, takes its time. It's lovely.
Bruce Dern replacing Burt Reynolds in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because obviously Burt unfortunately died very recently. We did a lot about that on the show at the time. Bruce Dern is always
excellent. It just makes sense.
It does.
Perfect. Yeah, it makes sense.
By the way, Bruce Dern, I interviewed him once for when Nebraska came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I did this great tour. He's so interesting. He does the best Jack Nicholson impersonation I have ever heard.
Really?
Yeah. It's Bruce uncanny. Stern. You close your eyes and you think you're talking to Jack Nicholson.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You should have interviewed Jack Nicholson. Could have been.
Where were you when I needed you 4 years ago, jerk?
And see how his Bruce Dern impression is.
Yeah. You know, hey, leave my mom alone.
No, but I would love to see
Jack Nicholson. Thanks, Mom, by the way.
You're the one that I want?
I would love to see... Guys, really?
Neil will not.
This
be back.
Is just. But yeah. So guys, come on. Whoopi Goldberg confirming a cameo in Disney's Sister Act reboot. Obviously. Well, the whole Sister Act 3, would it happen? Would it not happen? It's going to be a reboot. It's going to be on Disney's streaming service. It's not going to be led by Whoopi Goldberg. And Whoopi Goldberg is going to be making a cameo. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I love Sister Act. And I saw it again quite recently. It was on cable or something. And it was on. I was like, I haven't seen it. I wonder if it still holds up. It's still a really good movie.
If you say so. I saw it probably really around the same time.
You know, like the lady from Saturday Night Live, and she was also in Hocus Pocus. She's so good in that movie.
Catherine Jimmy was never on Saturday Night Live.
She was never on Saturday Night
Live. She was never on Saturday Night Live?
No.
Go call your mother in Greece.
Yeah, go call your mother. Where is
this? No, Catherine Jimmy was never in SNL.
Oh, I'm getting her confused with Julia Sweeney, aren't I?
Oh, that's nice. Julia Sweeney.
Yes, you are.
Really appreciates that.
And which is weird because they don't look anything alike at all.
I was going to say.
Which is so
There's no resemblance of any kind.
She would have happily take the paycheck, though. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
About that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I wasn't the biggest Sister Act fan, and Back in the Habit didn't...
That was not good. That was not a good...
It's just... Wouldn't you... See... Now that I know that it's for the streaming service, who cares? I mean, whatever. Okay, that's fine. But, you know, I just didn't need another Sister Act to be hitting theaters, you know, at a theater near me.
But you know what? That another Sister Act is not actually aimed at the likes of you and me.
Sure.
There's an entire audience that I know is absolutely going to relish this in the same way that...
Pitch Perfect.
That was a great first movie. Second one, not so good. Third one was just a... Terrible idea.
I think I can confidently say that I will go to my grave never having seen a Sister Act or a Pitch Perfect movie.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
Wow. How did you miss out?
Five up, five down, missed them all.
Five up.
Okay, a couple of other things I want to get through because we've got trailers to talk about. I know people want us to get our thoughts on Dark Phoenix, and we have 15 minutes left on the show. So Kingsman 3 is set for next year with Matthew Vaughn returning to write and direct.
God, I hope it's better than the last one.
The last one was not good.
No. Not good. First one was great.
Yeah.
Second one, not so much.
No.
I'm surprised they're making
except for
a third
Elton
one.
John. Elton John was great.
Elton John was hysterical. Again, when we talk about degrees, yes, it definitely wasn't as good as the first one, but I still found a way to have fun with it. I think after Robin Hood, he's probably dying to get back to Kingsman. I think the kid's a good actor.
He's great.
I
think he's a really great actor. I think he works great within that world. I mean, he just there's a casualness about him, and I love the chemistry between him and his now wife.
Yep.
I'm fine. Yeah,
but
I'm good.
He's great. Kingsman Bourbon, but I would like to see him do more movies like Eddie the Eagle, where I feel like
that was a great movie.
Yeah, he was great. He's great.
Don't talk over each other.
Yeah. So sorry. Sorry.
Nobody can understand what you're saying.
It's okay.
So, you know, you're more making really good points, but it's kind of killing it.
Sitting here chastened.
No.
I'm talking in Greek.
Kingsman was great. Kingsman 2, we all agree, was not great. I'm just very surprised they're doing a third Kingsman full stop, because the second one, again, did well, but it didn't get the return of the first film.
No. It's just because they set so much up. Mm. You know, like they were building up to another movie. So I think they're like, all right, this will be the last one if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And Channing Tatum, my guess, is going to have a bigger role, because he couldn't in this one, so he's going to have a bigger role. I did like, you know, the Statesman, and I've actually drank Statesman bourbon, and it's good bourbon. I like that world, so I'm actually pleased that they're going to go back to that well. I like the universe that they've built thus far.
I thought what they would have done would have spun off a Kingsman TV show.
Mm. Oh.
And had, you know, cameos from like...
they did. It's called Homeland.
You know, that's actually a fair point. But no, it's not entirely unfair. But no, I think they would have done that rather than have a third movie. I think it'll be an interesting challenge to get audiences back, I think, to see a Kingsman movie.
Mm-hmm. You know what's going to be interesting about it, too?
What's that?
Is that it's more than likely going to be released by Disney or another studio. Because I believe Kingsman is Fox.
It is.
Yeah.
And by the end of this year,
that's true.
Fox is going to be Disney.
That is a good point.
So the question is, who's releasing it?
That would be interesting. We've yet to find out, of course, on that exactly what the studio layout is going to be. And they say they're going to continue to have things like the smaller Fox subsidiaries.
Fox Searchlight,
potentially bring back some of the Disney subsidiaries that we had around in the 90s and early 2000s.
Like Touchstone.
Touchstone and stuff like that to release more sort of edgy content. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But I'm just quite surprised. Very quickly, Leia Thompson said that Marvel Studios loved her Howard the Boot reboot pitch, but it didn't happen. I'm kind of gutted. I like Howard the Duck.
I think
it's
Howard
so bad,
the Duck is not
good.
A good movie. I'm with you. It's so bad it's good.
Yeah.
I saw it when it came out in, 1987?
Mm.
And I remember I was 16 years old and I came out and said, I thought that was, I had fun. Is it a good movie? No, but I had fun watching that movie.
You know what's weird about this is that Leah Thompson has been like talking about this for so long now.
So long.
I feel like for like the last 6 months to a year, she keeps bringing this up over and over again. And I think she's a really talented actress, but something that she did not get a lot of love for, which I think is a shame, is the movie that she directed with her daughters. The Year of Spectacular Men, with obviously by everyone's blank stares on this table.
I never saw it. But
just,
I heard good things about it.
She shows a lot of promise as a director, and I love to and both her daughters are so talented.
Yeah,
I would love to see them do more projects together. And I think she kind of should just like let this one go for a little bit. You know, Marvel will probably come around and do this eventually. I think they just you can't just keep forcing it because people are not going to want to do this, and it makes her seem a little desperate, which is weird because I think she's so incredibly talented. I don't want her to keep pushing this.
I don't think we'll see a Howard the Boot reboot, Howard the Duck reboot, but I do think that Howard the Duck will pop up in something.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, he has very briefly or
for
subtly,
10 seconds.
But
yeah.
not
yeah.
as a but not in a in a any sort of meaningful way, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but in any sort of substantial context. And I think he will be brought back. I think there's space.
Yeah.
For him in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and I think it's because they had him in a movie and there was some somewhat positive response to the 10 seconds he was on screen.
Yeah.
I think this is why she's trying to rekindle this because, yes, when that movie came out, Howard the Duck, it got eviscerated.
Yeah.
Yes,
it was a flop as well. And But she, for her reasons, whether there was nostalgia, she seemed to have a really great time making that movie. Mm-hmm. And that memory has stayed with her. And to our point here, it's a bad movie. It's been on cable, and you watch it, and that third act just goes flooey. But people still watch it, and I think as time has gone on, as bad of a movie as it is, you think of it through nostalgic or rose-colored glasses, so to speak. Like, you get the nostalgia helmet on, you go, no, it wasn't that bad of a movie. I could see them remaking it.
I see it more likely if Howard the Duck does come back to life within the MCU. I see him popping up in the movies, but I absolutely think that we could see a TV series, especially going back to the Disney streaming service, where Marvel are looking again at their TV offerings. This would be the equivalent of Guardians to the MCU on the big screen and the likes of Ant-Man, sort of the more jovial stuff, then that would then complement their Disney Marvel offerings on TV, which are a bit more serious.
Yeah.
I think that would be more likely than seeing a big screen movie if they do want to look at bringing Howard the Duck back.
But if you do a big screen movie, the smart way to play it would be to hire Leia Thompson not only to be in it but to direct it.
Yeah. Yep.
That would be the smart play.
Yeah.
So and maybe instead of like desperation, that could be the card that she's trying to do. That if anybody can bring Howard the Duck back, I want to do
and
it.
Put Zoe and Deutsch in it too, which someone in the chat said.
Which would be fantastic. Yeah. Right, and that way I think would garner interest.
We have hardly any time left on the show now, fortunately, so we're just going to very quickly touch a Happy Death Day sequel starring a Valentine's Day 2019
release.
Speaking of
smart ways to do something, I love that movie much. It was one of my favorite movies last year. Yep. I'm now a Twitter friend with Christopher Landon, the director. When he said, I came up with an idea and wrote it, and they said, go, and they shot. I'm so excited. I'm more excited about that, which I think is coming out the same day as the movie we're going to talk about next.
We are.
The choice, not even a hesitation, Happy Death Day 2.
Yeah. Well, Happy Death Day to you.
Yes. Which Variety did a story about this week that the title had been announced. I tweeted about the title of that movie like 4 or 5 weeks ago. So I don't know why that suddenly became a big
Variety
story.
Variety took somebody else's...
Well, I mean, it can't even release when they announced the release, but it's like the movie, we already knew the title of the movie. Yeah. There have been test screenings for it. Yeah. I mean, that's why I tweeted about it. There was one in I think it was in Burbank, like 6 or 8 weeks ago. So we knew that this was going to. I think also it's been referenced by Jason Blum. Okay, we got only a couple of minutes left, so let's talk about trailers. A couple that dropped this week. I'll just specifically want to look now at Dark Phoenix because a lot of people reacted to that, and we've had a lot of requests for people to talk about that.
Sure.
Let's talk about Dark Phoenix. Your thoughts on this? Did you see the trailer? What did you think?
I did see the trailer. I really liked it. I thought this was going to be more of a Jean Grey, like, standalone at that, and I didn't,
because a lot of people really were expecting that.
Yeah, and the mere fact that this is like an X-Men movie, but they're marketing it very smart, in which we're not telling necessarily people or the mass audiences that this is an X-Men movie. So when Xavier shows up, you're like, oh, okay, so these people are gonna have cameos. You're like, no, this is an X-Men movie, but it's just focused on Jean Grey and the Dark Phoenix saga. I was like, this looks good. I liked it. I really liked the direction that they were going in with this.
Scott and Neil, your thoughts on it?
I actually did not see it.
Oh, okay. I do recommend you take time out to watch that.
It's a perfectly fine trailer. I cannot get excited about trailers. I can't. I just, you know, I mean, I don't... There are enough movies out there with great trailers that the movies turn out to be crap. Mm-hmm. And there are movies that, you know what, I wouldn't have expected by the trailer that was going to enjoy this as much as I did.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a marketing tool. I saw new footage. Okay, great. I mean, I see it probably is they're taking some big leaps from the original story. Also fine with me. But, you know, until February,
I liked it.
I was impressed with it. I'm intrigued to see it. However, I will very, very, you know, openly state, and I've said this before, I've been very much burned by the X-Men films.
Oh yeah,
I'm a little bit reticent because I've seen, like you say, great trailers of the movies, and when I've seen the movies, I've been like, actually, that was a disappointment. We're going to get onto a second. Anthony, can we have 5 more minutes?
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Gave us 10.
Okay. So we've got 4 minutes on the show, right?
I really like...
Okay, right.
I really like Days of Future Past.
Yeah, see, I wasn't a massive fan of that.
Okay, I thought Apocalypse was terrible.
Let's move on to let's move on to the movies that are coming out this week. We sadly don't have a huge amount of time. The Old Man and the Gun. This is Redford's movie. You've seen it.
Yep.
Tell me very briefly. I have not seen it. No.
I was really hoping this was going to be a swan song. Not because I want him to leave, but I just felt like it's a perfect ending to his career. It's kind of like highlights a lot of his films. There's some throwbacks to some photographs and some of his movies in there. And it's just a delightful performance. And him and Sissy Spacek have delightful chemistry. I really enjoyed this. I don't know if he's going to be nominated for Best Actor, but because the race is so crowded. But sure. I can see it potentially being like one of those like shoo-in kind of like, let's give it to him.
Hellfest also coming out this week. You've seen that?
Yes. No one. Oh man, I really enjoyed this. I seem to be alone on this one, which tends to be the space at least once a week where I see a movie and I really like it. It's not a groundbreaking horror slasher film, but it's one that plays homage. I really loved the concept here, and I thought it was just a fascinating little film that, if you think about it, you know, most horror movies people don't think about. You sit down and you think about this idea about a masked person just kind of going into an amusement park and using the park as his weapon makes that a very scary idea that can happen pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. Interesting. I want to see it.
Me too.
But I'll have to find time.
But
I
you're
just
not
don't...
the only one. The people who like the genre have said that it is an 80s throwback kind of a film, and they've enjoyed it for that reason. Yeah. So, and that's why I actually want to go too.
Two other releases wider this week. Smallfoot, that took last night 850,000 in previews. Looking at a weekend of 23 million, which is not too bad for an animated movie. That's okay. Your thoughts on this?
it's a good entry for Warner Brothers Animation. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little too preachy at times,
right.
But it's a lot of fun. It reminded me of Looney Tunes, which I think is kind of something that's, I don't know how popular Looney Tunes is anymore. The kids in our screening kind of seem to be really into it at certain points and not into it at other parts.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious, fun for the family, but other than that, you know, it's one of those ones where it's like hit or miss. Like, I don't think this is like something you have to rush out to see.
Yeah.
But people can see it if they want something for a family film.
Night School is likely to top the box office this weekend. Yes. It did previews of 1.35 million, 32 million for the weekend. It's looking what it's going to pull in. Night School, I was disappointed with this, I'll be honest with you. There are a couple of hard laughs in there for me. I, honest to God, cannot tell you what I laughed at in the entire thing. I thought it was a number of sitcom moments strung together. I think it was underwritten, and I think some stuff was incredibly obvious. Not a bad comedy, but really not up to the standard of pretty much anyone in that film.
I mean, Will Packer directed this film, and, you know, he's coming off of Girls Trip from last year, which, you know, set the bar so incredibly high that it was pretty understandable that this movie is going to be disappointed.
Yep.
I will say that I was very impressed by this film because I thought it was going to be 95 minutes of Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart screaming at one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't like that at all. Tiffany Haddish continues to showcase that she has a lot of talent and is going to continue to go places. For me, Kevin Hart is the weakest part of this movie. I think that the classmates in the night school are really entertaining. They are very sitcom-like. I almost feel like it almost has like a Breakfast Club type Breakfast Club type thing.
It's a great cast.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic cast.
And which is why I think that they're somewhat underserved.
Yeah.
I think there's probably too many people in it. I don't think the writing is strong enough. There are some very funny moments. It's very forgettable, unfortunately. And really, I was hoping there would be more. The trailers were actually pretty good, but I think the best bits were in the trailers.
I disagree. I thought the trailers were horrible for this movie.
Yeah. I did too.
But I mean, I enjoyed it more than Central Intelligence that had Kevin Hart
and Dwayne Johnson.
For me, when Kevin Hart does these sort of, you know, the double act movies, they really hit or miss for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can get teamed up with some really great people, and it just, there's something that doesn't quite work, and I'm not quite sure what that is. I can't put my finger on it, but it's a crying shame. It's fine. It's not a great movie. It runs too much on him.
That's what the problem is. Like, a lot of the movies that I feel like he's weaker in are the ones that kind of put him like, this is a Kevin Hart movie. Focus on him and make him laugh and do some crazy stuff and make him say something loud. It's like, yeah.
I want you to say stuff very quickly. We have 38 seconds left on the show. Okay, Dimitri, first of all, who are you? Where are you from? Where can we find you?
Dimitri, hey, movie fans. You can find me here on the best show about the biz, Meet the Movie Press, and on Popcorn Talks, Anatomy of a Movie.
Scott, be quick.
Scott Menzel, WeLiveEntertainment.com. Please join me at 11 p.m. at LAOFCS Weekly, and then on Sunday at Black Tomatoes on Black Hollywood Live.
Neil, welcome back. Good to have you on the show. Where can we find you?
Please listen to my podcast, Unduly Noted, with Neil Turrets and Ryan Beeman, and I review movies in six words, six-word reviews. Find me on Instagram, the number six word reviews. Six word reviews with the number six, not spelled out.
And I'm Simon Thompson, at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm going to be off for a couple of weeks. I'm going to be back in bloody London. So you guys are going to be in charge while I'm away. So no pressure, but no fucking up. Thank you so much, everybody. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, you can do at Meet Movie Press. Like, subscribe, tell anybody that you you can that you like the show if you enjoy the show, and because we would love to have more people within the family of Meet the Movie Press. Thanks so much. Have a great time. Just so you know, before I go, I didn't like Bad Times in El Royale at the El Royale, but Star Is Born, which comes out next week, is one of the best movies of the year. So make sure you see it. See you, everybody.
Thanks, Trevor. Me back, guys.
Hey, no worries. You're more than welcome.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.